Tonight I'm turning to the first book of Corinthians chapter 9, as we have been studying for the past weeks. Last week, I think we ended up to verse 18, and again it was Apostle's exhortation on self-denial, as he used his own example to exhort the church at Corinth to concerning this godly virtue. Indeed, it's a virtue that all who profess the gospel ought to strive for. It must be our daily striving, so that we will deny ourselves more, so that we'll be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we know, we live in a world where everything is against a life of holiness. It's against the will of God, because our own inclinations, it's against God's will, except He has refined it. And all suggestions of life and suggestions of business, family, everything, if it's not according to scriptures, against God's will. And indeed, it makes life for Christians difficult without the grace of God supporting us to be able to overcome this. And so the only way is self-denial. And self-denial is an obedience to Christ and also honor to His gospel, because it's something that He Himself has enjoined us to strive after. And His famous words that he that cometh after me should deny himself. Except we deny ourselves, we cannot really walk with Him aright. So it's a reminder to us. So we continue tonight in the same subject, example of self-denial. So this will be part 3. This will be part 3 of the same subject. As Apostle Paul, as I said, here in the same chapter, he was using his own example to exhort us, so that as we look at what he did, it was all commanded for him to do, yet for the honor of Christ, he did it so that the gospel have its focus. So we continue to look at this. So I begin from verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. So here he tells us, he continued, because it was the same argument he was trying to put across, so that in connection with his determination to preach the gospel free of charge, and that he said that this motivation was not out of a fear for men, that because he wanted to please men, or he wanted to let people applaud him, that he took this manner to do what he did. So he says, for though I be free from all men, yes, he's free from the fear of men, and this makes his conduct sincere, because sometimes people may act in a way of self-denial, but then it is because of the fear of men, so that he may please others. But here he tells us, though he's free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. And before even I move on to the second part, what he says, for though I be free from all men, speaks to us that in his attitude, he was only looking up to the Lord for his approval. That all that he did out of pure motive to honor God, the Lord. So that, when he started the chapter, he hinted that some were trying to scrutinize him why he did those things, that as if he was afraid to insist on his right to take support from the church, because all the other apostles were doing the same. Is it because he was afraid? No, he said no, he wasn't afraid. He still tells us he was free from the fear of men, and that his attitude was purely for the honor of Christ. And indeed, this also tells us, before we move on, that in all our actions, in all our desire to serve the Lord, if the Lord will be pleased, our intentions must be purely for His honor. We must never do anything because we want to please somebody or because we want others to applaud us, but purely for the honor of Christ. And that is the only matter that really pleases the Lord in all our acts as Christians, those of us who have come to know the Lord, and that the Lord expects us to live to please Him. All our actions must be motivated by His own fear, that we seek Him to approve us. We seek Him to indeed be pleased with our actions, and that not merely to make ourselves famous or be known as, oh, we are doing well for the Lord. We know that there are thousands of Christians who have lived and have sacrificed for the gospel, but they are not among the famous ones we know. In church history, sometimes you read the history of some, and you are amazed how they were willing to give themselves over to the things of Christ. And yet, in the popular history books, we don't even hear of them. Churches, places, and it tells us how the Christian ought to conduct himself purely for the Lord, not seeking for man's approval. So it was for the love of Christ and the glory of His name alone that motivated him. But he tells us, though he's free from all men, so that he did not act out of probably fear of men or approval of men, yet he was willing to make himself a servant. So he says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. Made himself a servant so that he would please those that he preached the gospel to, and yet he was willing to do that because he wanted them to know the Lord, to gain, that I might gain them all. So he purposed to act in a humble manner in order to gain sinners to Christ. That's what he's trying to tell us. He's free from all men. He didn't act out of probably fear of what people may say about him or how people may judge him, and yet he wanted to act so that he can become a servant to them so that he can gain them for Christ. And actually, what he's saying here is a godly conduct and something that is Christ honoring. And you know what he's saying here, it's an imitation of Christ. He didn't mention that he was imitating Christ so that he could become a servant. He will put himself in a state where he humbled himself to live such a low life so that he may gain others to Christ. Later in Philippians chapter 2, I'll read to you verse 3 to 8, he exhorted believers to be mindful of that mind of Christ. Let me read that one to you. That humility of mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8. So he acted out of humility of mind as an example, imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 down. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made like in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Christ, though he was the Son of God, equal with the Father, but for the sake of our salvation, humbled himself so that he could take human nature, human body, to die on the cross for us. So from the same principle, Apostle Paul says, he was willing to become like a servant so that he can win others to Christ. So it's a Christ example that he imitated, and it is to each one of us, so that in all our actions, though we are free from all men, yet we must always be on the side where we will act in a way to promote the gospel, Even if we have to become like, in the quote, servant in their eyes, become like, in their eyes, useless in their own eyes, become like foolish in their own eyes, so long as it is a pleasing act to the Lord, and that it will give us opportunity to bring these people to Christ, to probably get the gospel to them, probably to witness to them. We may have friends, we have colleagues, we have family members, which we desire that they will come to the Lord. Sometimes we ought to be in the position where they may even look at us as fools, so long as we're able to communicate to them the truth of the gospel. So that's what Apostle Paul is telling us. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. So that in dealing with them, I don't look at my interest first. I look at their souls first. I don't look at how convenient things will be for me. I look at how they can really understand the gospel and indeed desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it should be inconvenient to me. If I may have to forgo my time, my leisure, if I may have to forgo some possession or whatever, so long as it will be a means to reach the gospel, reach out the gospel to them, I have to. You see, so here he's telling us that he imitated Christ. But that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has to do. For him to come and save sinners like you and I, he has to lay down his glory. He has to cover his glory and to become and to come like man. You remember how he was maltreated? He was rejected and he has to suffer on the cross of Calvary because of our sins. So, this is the foundation of self-denial and also humility of mind, which Apostle Paul calls us to. And it is that which we have to be. The world always tells us to be somebody, is that not so? But no, we are somebody only in Christ. It is through Christ we are, but in our own self we are nothing. If we are Christians, however we have been in this world, with the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory, that matters. We do not matter anything. See? So this is example Apostle Paul is trying to bring to our mind here. Imitation of that lowliness of mind in Christ Jesus. That humbleness of mind. And this humbleness of mind causes us to live a humble life. Life that honors the Lord Himself. Verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. So from here on to the other verses, he will show how he humbled himself in his manners as he preached the gospel. He will really tell us the details of what he meant when he says that he made himself servant unto all men. In what sense did he make himself servant unto all men? And he here tells us, to the Jews, I became as a Jew. And who are these Jews? Himself, he was a Jew. But he speaks particularly of his own people who still hold on to the ceremonial law. You know, the Jews, the Lord, the gospel, before the New Testament, before the coming of Christ, the way of worship the Jews held to, the ceremonial law was given, and it was valid at the time where it was a means of coming to God. Sanctification and justification, because when they have sinned, they were given all the regulations to take so that they will be purified. The various ablutions and sacrifices that they were supposed to do so that the Lord will accept them. So, before the coming of Christ, it was a relevant thing to be accepted before the Lord by these regulations. So, after Christ has come, there were many Jews still who were living strictly by these rules, thinking that it was still relevant for God to accept them. Apostle Paul himself once said he was like that. He was living like that. Like he was living by that strict rules, seeking to be justified by the Lord. And in this ceremonial or part of it was the distinction in foodstuffs, dressing, and holidays, and various things that were given to them. They were still holding on to this. And that this was what they hold in. But as I've said, these things were typical of our sanctification, believer sanctification, how, and also justification, how the Lord accepts us, and our continuous acceptance with Him. It was something that stood in for that. The Apostle Paul has so many to write on this in the book of Galatians, but we cannot go there, so we just pass on. So that for us, all these regulations for acceptance, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to finish the work of redemption on Calvary's cross, all these things have been abolished. So when we come to believe in Him, we don't need to follow that again. And also when a Jew comes to believe in Christ, become a Christian, he's also free. And again, every Jew is free now from that regulation, because God did not accept that regulations again, which we call the ceremonial law. It has been abolished in Ephesians 2:15, Galatians 2:23-25, and Hebrews 10:1-10 teaches us how the Lord has abolished the ceremonial law, so that we are the Jews or whoever is not under obligation to keep them to be accepted by Him. So to these Jews who still keep this law, Apostle Paul says, when he will read them with the gospel, he tried to live like them. And what was his motive? Well, he would be observing the rituals and the customs of them. We have example, Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 16, 1-3. Let me read that to you. In observing these rules, we will look at the motive later. Acts chapter 16:1-3. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. He was going to these Jews, and then Timothy was with him, so he circumcised him. Circumcision was one of the regulations under the ceremonial law. He did it for that. And also, so in Acts chapter 21, verse 26, Apostle Paul also observed their ceremonial purification with some of the Jews when he went to Jerusalem, so that he'll go and do his work as he was supposed to do. Well, why did he knew that these things have been abolished, because in Galatians he wrote against these things that it has been abolished. Why did he subject himself to all these things? He did not to obtain righteousness as the Jews hoped for. The Jews, when they do this, those who have scriptures, they do it so that they obtain righteousness. They think that God will receive them as his people because of these things. But Apostle Paul didn't do it for that. But then he did it as a means to have greater influence over them, so that he will be able to present the gospel to them. Let us remember, Apostle Paul's time, the time he lived, the doctrines of the gospel was not fully grasped by many Christians. Even many who have become Jews were still mixing up both the Old Testament regulations and also the gospel. So that's why he wrote so much in Galatians, also in Romans, and against these things. So Apostle Paul said that he himself became like a Jew, so that he observed the manners and lived as they lived, because they held on. It became part of their culture. To live as a Jew, you have to observe these things. So he himself, though he had been saved from that, he observed them so that he can reach out to them. Not that he also was looking to be justified before God through these things. And again, this ceremonial law was God's own law which he gave them, and at the point he has abolished it. It's a different from probably going to observe idol rituals, you see. Though, when it has been abolished, it becomes sinful to engage in them. But for the time where Apostle Paul was, it was a time that people were not truly, had not fully grasped the gospel doctrines, and then it was taking a time for them to really come over. In apostles themselves, many of them, in Apostle Peter one time was caught up in this, so that where he has to really stand out as a Christian, he has to join himself with other Jewish people so that as if he's not living as a Gentile. So you see the kind of sentiment the Jews had as at then, and how the gospel has to go to them. And then Apostle Peter himself, before he went to even preach to Cornelius, the Lord has to give him a vision to show him that there's now nothing, like those revelations were no more binding. And in that vision, remember, when the Lord just tried, told him to kill the animals, and he said, Lord, these are unclean. And the Lord has to teach him that no, nothing is unclean. So they have this thing in their mind. So Apostle Paul saying this, that he acted as a Jew, that's what he meant. It's not that he supported them to continue in that, but in that transition period, the sentiment of the Jews were always like that. So many of the persecution that came against him was that he was preaching against Moses and the law. However, Apostle Paul's example doesn't support the idea of some. You know that there are some Christians, they think, well, for Christians to reach out to sinners, we have to live like the world in order to bring them to Christ. So some will go to the clubs and also go and preach to them. And some will want to live. I'm sure we have seen some preachers wearing tattered jeans and wearing maybe a baseball cap and dressing like jokers on behind pulpits, trying to say influence the youth and all that. No, this is not what Apostle Paul is trying to teach us here. That's a different thing at all. I will come to that. I'll try to touch on that as I'm going on. I'm sure we know many, some Christians, even they are being Christians, they say, well, for you to reach out to unbelievers, you have to act in a way to attract them. No, this is not what Apostle Paul is doing here. It's not trying to send to be able to win them to Christ. No. So, he's not so. Some of them, most of them, they draw their example from the life of Apostle Paul. Oh, Apostle Paul did this to win the Jews. So it's allowed, so that though we are not the worldly, but we want to appear like the worldly, so that we may attract them. And maybe the youth, the pastor wants to act like a youth, so that an old man acting like a youth, so that he can really entertain the youth to come to the church. That's nonsense. You know, that's not what Apostle Paul is trying to teach us here, you see. But what he's doing, we have an example. Remember, Hudson Taylor, when he went to China, is it Hudson Taylor, if I'm not mistaken, he dressed like them. I mean, his hairstyle, he changed it to be like them. He wants to live like them. And that is okay, because he just wants to let them feel that he's living like them. And there are many missionaries that try to live like that. I know many missionaries, they will come and they will try to learn our local food. They will eat with us. Just was a month ago, I went to a funeral in Cape Coast. And the missionary, the Baptist missionary, I know him. We all ate fufu. He's from Mexico. And I think he even requested Banco later. He said they should make fufu. Those are the things Apostle Paul is trying to bring into our mind. So that he just wants to live like them and act, not that he's so different from them, so that he'll be able to have access to them. You see, he's trying to learn our language so he can communicate in the language, not like speaking to an interpreter and all that. So those are the things Apostle Paul is trying to bring into mind here, where he says that he wants to live as a Jew so that he can reach out to them. Again, let's continue. Verse 21. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. So here is a reference to Gentiles, as the Gentiles do not have the written law. So both the moral and the ceremonial law, the Gentiles never had it. They said that for them, also to them without the law, as without the law, so that as he lived among them, he would show he wouldn't be having a regard to this Jewish sentiment about the ceremonial law, and so he wouldn't want to take that their culture to these Gentiles to try to tell them they should also live like that. No, he wouldn't, and that he would not give any regard to this Jewish sentiment. But when he was with the Jews, he's sensitive to their own sentiment. But to the Gentiles, he lived as those who were not given this ceremonial law, who doesn't have these things binding them, though it has been abolished. So to them, he will live as a normal person, not trying to live as a Jew among them, not trying to import the Jewish culture among them. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. This is very important when he added it, because as he said that to them that are without the law, as without law, see, so then he will live without any restraint. Probably somebody would say, well, to live and worship as the adults that you can read the law. As those people nowadays think that, well, if you want to read the sinners or unsaved, let us act like them. No. So this expression here, this small phrase here, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, it means that although among the Gentiles he showed no regard to the ceremonial law, yet he lived as one who was bound by the moral law. You see? So the laws here, we have to know, well, he lived as one who is bound by the moral law. The Gentiles, though, they didn't have the ceremonial law, but we know in Romans chapter 1, and we know that the law of God was inscribed upon their hearts. Their right and wrong, they knew, though they were not perfect because they didn't have the full, by sin, they have lost the full knowledge of it. So they had a law, right? So by the way, without the written law, there's also the ceremonial law where the Jews were taught about the ways of God. So though he will leave the Gentiles as normal person, but then there's a restraint. He's bound by the law, by the moral law, so that he'll be checked. He will not reach them with the gospel and then compromise God's standards. No. So this is a very important part of the verse. So that being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. He's a Christian. So the law, the commands of Christ, and again, which is the same, the law, the moral law, which binds all Christians, though he will live among them and observe those things that are not relevant to the law of God, I mean, food, probably dressing, probably, as I said of Hudson Taylor, when he went to China, tried to live like them, even shaved his hair like the Chinese and all that, just to live like them. But then, wherever is sin, there's a full stop. So that's what he's telling us. And he did this for what purpose? Again, that I might gain them that are without law. So the same purpose for his humbling manners was to win sinners to Christ, so that he will not live as because he was a Jew and they have their culture. He wouldn't go there and live as a Jew. Purely, I mean, trying to, some people, it is true, well, people may be doing something wrong and all that, but how we even try to tell them, sometimes we infuriate them. See? I've heard some preachers just saying things. There's a way where you can say it so that you don't just hurt. You rather harden people against what you are saying. Probably insult and other things. No. The Apostle Paul was careful, and we ought always to be careful, especially when we meet our friends who have been so consumed with these charismatic ideas and they seem not to understand anything. It is true, we have to point to them they are wrong, but we should be careful how we do it. Sometimes by just saying to them, pa, 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 I mean, pointing them and just, it's like you are condemning them, that's what they will say. See, but then there's a way we can explain it to them and being sensitive of their case and yet try to prove them they are wrong and that this is the way the Lord wants them to know. Because that's all that they have known. That's all they experience. And they will surprise to just hear straight away that they are wrong. Yes, they are wrong. We tell them that they are wrong, but we have to do it in a humble way, trying to show respect to them, but then attacking the particular errors which they have. Sometimes we don't take it, we even talk as if we are even kind of denigrating their whole, their personality. Yeah, sometimes we do that. But we should be careful, because that's what Paul is trying to tell us here. You see, that's what he's trying to tell us here. Again, we go to a place where people worship idols, so don't just go there and blast them. You know, when he went to Athens, look at how he treated. They were idolated, but look at how he started his message. He said, yes, you have so many gods, idols here, and there's one you have inscribed to the unknown God. This is the God I'm going to tell you of. And only then he let them realize that idol worship was not anything. But then he spoke wisely to bring his case to them. So that is what he's trying to advise us here, that I might gain them that I will not love. So that those who were not Jews, their manners, he's sensitive to their manners. They have been worshipping idols all their life. And how do you treat them? How do you deal with them? You just go and tell them, no, there's a way to deal with them. And the Lord always will give us wisdom when we ask. For instance, I meet a Muslim, and immediately I just condemn Islam and everything. No, he will so be averse to even listen to me. So he said, no, you attack those errors, but you have a way so that he himself will not fail. And by the time he realizes, he has come to have something in his mind, and then by the Lord himself will use it to bless him, to save him. So you see, look at Apostle Paul. I mean, you know, we have, we believe in Calvinistic doctrines of salvation, and sometimes people attend and say, well, just tell people the facts, and God himself will work. It is through God will work, but God has also given us, I mean, as I always say, when God in the Bible speaks to people, he comes to their level to speak to them, you see, so that they will understand. So you see, yes, we believe in the sovereignty of God. Yes, look at Apostle Paul, who believes, who wrote about the sovereignty of God. But look at his manners. So careful so that he will let them understand the gospel, so that he will win them for Christ. It is the world, God will save them. So let me go and tell them that I have died, and that they are idolaters, they are sinners. God will, no. He was sensitive to what these people hold on to as their culture, whatever it is, you see. So it's a great example for us when we deal with those who are being misled. And we know in our extended families, we have many who are being misled to these charismatic false teachings. We should always ask for wisdom so that we're able to talk to them in a manner, in humble way, so that we'll draw their mind to the truth. We'll draw their mind to the truth. So, and again, I go back to these people. Be not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. So that Apostle Paul tried to come down to their level, but not compromising. You see? So this shows to us that although Apostle Paul was sensible of the weakness of others, yet he never compromised the standards of God's law when he tried to reach out the gospel to them. You see, he was sensible of the weakness of people, how they understood things, and how they have been exposed to the truth of God, and yet he never compromised the standards. So that's another thing that is helpful to us, so that we should always hold on to the standards. And you know, again, churches and Christians, I mean Christian groups, many who call themselves Christians, they say, well, we want to preach the gospel. They don't even care if the means they are using is a dishonor to the Lord. Some are using worldly music to reach unbelievers. They use rap music, reggae music, and so many sorts of things. They say they want to reach people in that. No. They want to descend to their level so that they can also reach. No. That's what Apostle Paul is trying to tell us here. You know, this idea is the fruit of this contemporary gospel songs, where people just say anything just to inflame the feelings of people without teaching anything. Mention the name of Christ, maybe his goodness, or probably his mercy, or something, and that's all. And just nothing about sinners' repentance, nothing about the need to really seek the Lord, and need to be, I mean, God's demand for holiness, God's justice, and how God requires perfect righteousness. No, you don't hear in this so-called contemporary gospel music. And they adapt the themes of the world. And so that, because they know people like those things, so that then they will ask some Bible words, and then they say they are reaching out to the Lord. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. Those are immoral ideas, you see. Yes, we'll try to humble ourselves, to reach out to people, but we always have to stand and have the limit. If those ideas are sinful, we avoid. We don't descend to the gutters. Yes, we descend to the gutters, but we don't dirty ourselves with them. So we don't pick up their manners. We don't go to places where it is purely worldly things to try to talk to them about. I mean, people can choose if they want to go to the beer bar and talk to drunkards. How can you talk to drunkards in a beer bar? No, they're already taken up with alcohol. No, you talk to them when their minds are clean. They want to go to prostitute, whatever. Talk to them when they are on the proper way. But don't go to where the act of sin is being committed to read them out to God. I'm sure we have heard of some pastors who call themselves reform pastors, and they use this, some of these things to reach out to to the youth or whatever. No, the Lord doesn't need those things. The standards are always the same, yet we have to use wisdom so that we don't sin while we try to reach out to the lost. Verse 22 to 23. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. See how Apostle Paul desired that others will also become believers like himself. You see? That was his desire. So to the weak, those, and here differently in chapter, you remember, those issue with eating food offered to idols, where the weak in faith were troubled, and so he cautioned them that they don't care about the brothers. Again, in Romans chapter 14, he also spoke about these things of indifference. So these are weak, they may be believers, but they may be, for the understanding of these teachings were not clear. So they think that, well, maybe eating those things were sinful. And so to them, said that he wants to come down so that he will really be helpful to them. In the last verse of chapter 8, remember he said that in matters of this food offered to idols, he says that verse 13, chapter 8, verse 13, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So he was sensitive to the weak. He was sensitive to those who were offended by their brothers for eating meat offered to idols because of their former connection with idolatry. So the same way Apostle Paul wants us to realize how we should be sensitive to even other brothers or other sisters, how we act toward, how we speak to them. Yes, we may probably have had a kind of maturity, but they are yet learning. So you see, so look at how the Lord Jesus Christ walked with the disciples. See, look at how sometimes he reproves them. Sometimes he doesn't reprove. His reproof. It's not so harsh. He just corrects them. Sometimes he's so harsh toward them when they were going astray. So the same way in the church, how we relate to each other, we should be sensitive to each other, so that, well, we may have such an understanding about these manners, but then probably others, they are now learning. They are now trying to adapt themselves to that principle, and they may need patience. So we try to be patient with them. Why? Because why? We are not helping them for ourselves. Whatever help we're able to offer is for the honor of Christ. So why, if the help turns out that it becomes annoying to them, so that they don't even want to consider our words at all? No. We should act in a way that they will have that heart to receive what we tell them, if it is true. Actually, it is also true when people become rebellious, we deal with them in that way. But then, those who are believers, I'm sure, by and by, will become concerned with the things that we try to help them with. But what was the purpose? Apostle Paul's examples he has said to us is to demonstrate that he's exhorting us to self-denial for the progress of the gospel, but not compromise on God's standards to win unbelievers for him. So rather, you see what those quote-unquote Christians who think, well, we have to behave in a way to all the unbelievers, they rather forgetting that Apostle Paul is trying to teach us self-denial. Meaning they have to rather even compromise in their own self, not in their character or in their behavior. They have to separate themselves to be able to win. They have left that one, and they rather want to sin to win others to Christ. No. Rather, it is speaking to us to deny ourselves, to deny our own kind of convenience and own kind of liberty, so that we can really be useful to others. So that's all the lesson he's teaching us. He will continue the rest of the verse next week. But then, this is the lesson: self-denial, not compromise on God's standards to win sinners. Okay, I'm sure we know how in children ministry they are adding choreography and other things. They say, well, and you know, when we sometimes go to pick the children some of these churches where they have had some programs so that they want the children to come to them. And yet, the program is not to help them. Any, it has nothing to do with leading them to Christ or letting them to know the Lord. You see how so sad it is. And yet, it will prevent them from coming to Sunday school to learn the things of the Lord. No, for us, as the Lord has taught us, we will rather deny ourselves so that the gospel will have its full course. May the Lord help us as we think about these things.